Hi, everybody. It's Elaine. It's Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. So hard to believe. And we are on a parent success system call talking today about compassion. And so let's start with check-ins. Well, let's check in and tell me who's on the phone. I'm trying to pull up the roster now, but who's on the phone?
Julie.
Julie Minton.
Yep.
Okay. Gwendolyn.
Hey, Gwendolyn. How are you?
Just fine.
Good. And who else is here?
Christian.
Christian, Audrey, Gwendolyn, and Julie. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And is anybody usually in a different group, or is everybody usually in this group?
I'm usually in a different group. This is Christian.
Which group are you usually in?
I typically try to make the Friday at 12 p.m.
Okay. That's fine. It helps me to find you on the roster more quickly. Friday at 12. Anybody else usually in a different group? Okay. I didn't think so. Okay. So let's start with check-ins. I feel like I've missed somebody. That's four people and there are five people on the call. So who am I?
Mark checked in.
Who is it?
Mark.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you? Is this usually your group as well?
I think. I don't know. It's with Julie.
Yes, this is our group.
That's your group. Okay. Yep, it says with Mark. Got it. Welcome.
Thanks.
So let's start with check-ins, everyone. What's going on?
Logan is cured, and we're all happy.
Love that. That was so easy.
Oh, wait a minute. That was a dream I had. Never mind.
Give us your secret right now.
I know.
Just dream a lot.
I have to tell y'all, I was having a conversation with my son yesterday, my 14-year-old, and I had to call him on some stuff. And we ended up having this great conversation about, does he remember what it was like when? You know, back in the days when he used to throw these unbelievable tantrums and, you know, all of the things that we're all dealing with it. And he was able to have this very sort of mature conversation with us about, you know, what had happened. And it was just, I promise it's in your future. Because it was really amazing. And 2 years ago, we couldn't have even had that conversation. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, so Mark's having some good dreams. Audrey, what about you?
Yeah, I can springboard right off of that. So my son is in the process of changing medications, and that has been very interesting. You know, we were in a really good spot for a while, and I knew it wouldn't last, so I tried to just enjoy it. And so we're in that process where a lot of old behaviors are back. It's amazing to me. I mean, it's like churning up mucky water. You know, it's like it was clear, and then we jumped in, and everything's churned up again. And, you know, his mood is bad. He's, you know, activities of daily life are frustrating to him. You know, go take a shower is creating explosions that, you know, had gone away. And I think anxiety and, you know, I mean, I could go down the list, but
right.
I think the reality is that, number one, I'm really thankful for medication. Especially when it works, you know.
Right.
And now the difference is, like, now, you know, before it was like these things were awful. I was like, can this ever get better? You know, is this my whole life? You know, and then you go into catastrophe thinking. And so now it's like, okay, like it doesn't feel unmanageable because I have strategies for when things are rough. And even though the frequency of when things are rough is much higher than I want it to be, I know that, you know, we can get back to that place where things are at least calmer again. And so, like, I can endure it better. But,
yeah.
But you know, and it's not clear, is it not enough medication, or does he just need the afternoon dose, or, you know, is it just that this medication doesn't cover him as long? And so his general frustration level is higher.
Right.
But, you know, and we're working all that out, and I know we'll figure it out. But it's making me hone my skills again, and it's reminding me how emotionally draining it is to just have to have those conversations with him where he's, you know, spewing venom and angry and frustrated. And, it's exhausting for me to have to, you know, sit and offer him compassion when he's, you know, saying and thinking horrible things. And it's just emotionally exhausting for me. And
I bet it is.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question and offer something just off the top? Okay. Well, the first question was, you had said long ago, I remember, that he's ODD when he's sleep deprived. So how's his? Are you paying attention to his sleep in this?
Yeah, that's a great question. He actually is very well rested. And, of course, he's doing well in that category. Yep.
Okay. And then the other thing is that because you've had this period of relative peace before the storm, there's an opportunity, just like I was saying I had with my son, when you're in a good place, not when things are upset, but when things are, you know, in a good place, there's an opportunity to sort of bring his attention to how things were before the meds changed.
And
to help have some compassion for him, with not for his behavior, but for, man, this has got to be so frustrating for you because things were going so well and now we're changing the meds and now all of a sudden, I know you don't like it when you're behaving this way, and this must be really hard for you too.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I feel like I'm doing some capitalizing on that, and this is really the first, I think, opportunity that we've had to help him develop that kind of self-awareness, because he just, I mean, it was totally blank for him before, and so these conversations are starting to happen, and
great.
They're starting to happen, and he's starting to get it. You know, I'm saying things to him like, okay, Greg, why don't we wait, you know, 30 minutes until your medicine kicks in, and then we'll see how this, you know, we'll work on your project then. And why don't you pay attention to whether it's any easier or not? Or when he's getting really frustrated and overwhelmed, I'm saying to him, you know, Greg, I get that that's real for you. I think that this is going to get better. I think you're having an especially hard time because, you know, we're going to start an afternoon dose. Yeah, it's like I can give him like the big picture, and he's like he's just looking at me right now. Like he's not sure, but he's listening, and he's starting to get a point of reference
to connect to as well. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the other thing I would add. So what you're talking about is responding really well to him while he's in it. And I'm suggesting also having a conversation with him when he's not in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
About what's going on with him and really, and it's perfect conversation for today because today we're talking about compassion.
Right.
Right. So we'll get back to it. You know, let's mix things up a little bit. Since we're here and we've just had this conversation, you want to go ahead and take aim?
I have noticed that, you know, when he is frustrated and I try to offer him compassion, it often goes something like, you know, no, I'm not going to take a shower or whatever. And then I offer him compassion. Wow, I know this is really frustrating for you. You know, what's going on? Are you thinking it's, you know, is it boring? Do you, you know, we have a conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm trying really hard to validate the fact that you do feel this way. It's real. I get that it's really hard for you. And after like two or three attempts, he's still just like angry at me. Because we are in the moment. And I get like there's this whole problem-solving process that happens, you know, with conversations not in the moment. But sometimes they're one-off situations, or sometimes they are just like, you got to deal with it. It's right now. Like he's mad. I need him to take a shower. And I notice that I'll offer him compassion, you know, two or three times and just get nowhere. No matter what I say or how much I express to him that I get it and I want to support him, he is still just mad and spewing venom at me. And then it turns to, okay, you know, if you don't do this, then here's going to be the consequence. And that's the only thing that gets his attention. And I hate that. I hate that. Like, I try to do the positive.
Let me focus you for a minute. So tell me what's the change you want to see.
So I want to figure out if I need to just accept that that is sometimes the tool that needs to be used, or whether I should be doing something different in order to, you know, something that, that keeps it positive without getting to, you know, threats of consequences.
Okay. So here's what I want to offer is,
yes.
is let's take aim on managing him when he's spewing, right?
Okay.
For lack of a better
yep.
word.
Okay.
And what I want you to listen for in the conversation is how can you tweak compassion to work? Because your inclination is you want to use compassion and you're not finding it to be as effective as you need it to be.
Yeah.
So where's the way to tweak that technique so that it's effective?
Right. Okay.
Okay? So just listen for that in the conversation today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Great. Cool. All right. Who else? And I know that somebody else, Tess, has joined us. It looks like somebody else is here, too, but I know Tess. Who else is here?
Christian from Atlanta.
No, Christian I got. I got Christian, Julie,
okay.
Windren, Audrey, Tess, and Mark. Oh, no, that's it. Okay. Got it. So who else wants to take aim? Let's sort of do check-in and take aim today. Julie, you want to kick in?
I'm not ready.
Okay, that's fine. Winter, how about you?
Yeah, give me a minute. I'm not sure what I'm taking aim on today, but check-in, I actually had some good news. We got a progress report from Katya's preschool, which is kind of like well, kind of like grades, except they're not graded, of course, because she's four.
Of course.
Anyway.
She's four, right.
But it was the only thing they noted, like, needed serious improvement was tying her shoes, which is fine with me. They're okay with all her social skills, which was kind of amazing.
That is amazing.
And the first two lines of the comments section were, Katya brings such fun energy to our classroom. And she loves everyone and is always extremely happy to become someone's friend. And those were, I mean, that's what they focused on was the good parts of who she is. And it made me
Brilliant.
So happy.
Ah, I love it.
So it was a really good part.
That's brilliant. Great. So is there anything that you feel like you've been struggling with that you want to take aim on this week?
Bedtimes have suddenly gotten just wild. I mean, she'll be fine up until the point that we start putting her pajamas on, and then she starts kicking and hitting, and she hasn't done that in a year and a half, and nothing changed. So we're trying to figure out how to keep her calmer, I guess.
Okay, so focus is on sort of reclaiming the bedtime routine.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I would offer is that nothing's changed from your perspective, but something's changed from hers.
Yeah, we just can't figure out what it is.
Right. So that's a part of one strategy for you to play with, which is not today's talk, is curiosity, is get curious
mm-hmm.
on what's going on for her that she hasn't been able to tell you.
Yeah.
Because there's something there.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, who else? Tess, what about you?
Oh, hi, Elaine. Okay, I'm not quite sure what my aim is for this week, but I just wanted to check in and say that I guess from last week it was more about my focusing on, or my focus, I guess, the aim back then was managing transitions with my younger son. And then,
yep.
But I was also realizing that I was being triggered and was suggested to me that I just stay with compassion for my son and for myself. And I just think for me that the biggest victory was that I was able to, gain more compassion for myself and for my son and just stay calm. Because for me, the biggest thing is just I'm still struggling to accept my own ADD. And that
right.
has made a huge, I mean, that has had a huge effect on my behavior with my kids and just, you know, overall behaviors in the home. And since I've been learning and really focusing on that and taking positive action steps toward understanding, I just got off of a webinar. That's why I'm late on moms with ADD. I've been able to just be that much more calm and understanding. And I haven't realized, I haven't felt any like major challenge, you know, conflicts or, you know, moments of stress or, you know, fights with me and the kids. And so that has been really positive.
Awesome.
So maybe, yeah, no, it has been really good. And now it's like, oh, I want to do all these things and I've got to just back off and remember it's one step at a time. You know, it's I'm excited, I'm hopeful, I'm inspired. And, you know, yet I've got to, like, corral myself and, you know, it's one taking aim at one thing at a time, you know, versus trying to change everything, especially myself.
Awesome. So do you want to take aim on a change, an external change, or do you want to stay focused on yourself?
You know, I think I still need to just stay focused on myself right now.
So what's the change you want to see or hold on to?
I'm sorry, with the back, what was the question?
That's okay.
Again?
What's the change you either want to create or maintain?
Okay. Well, I think I want to just continue with self-care for myself.
So is it about continuing to be kind to yourself, or is it staying calm? I mean, is there something more specific or just self-care?
I think you're right. I think, letting go of the negative feedback that I give myself, you know, putting myself down, you know, because I'm not accepting myself for who I am, not accepting myself when I,
right,
you know, make mistakes and it's all, you know, unrealistic expectations or, you know, just going along with the myths, like, I should be able to do this. And it's like, no, I mean, I've got, yeah.
So the language that I often use whenever I first start coaching someone one-to-one who's an adult with ADD, the first thing I usually teach them is to put the stick down.
Oh, darn, I missed that. First thing you do is...
The first thing I say is to put the stick down. So if you can imagine, we adults with ADD had this tendency to be hitting ourselves over the head with a stick that we've been hitting ourselves with our whole lives.
Yeah.
And we've gotten, like, these grooves in our head from where we keep hitting ourselves with the stick. So the very first thing we have to do is put the stick down.
Okay.
And that's sort of what I hear you saying, is, you know,
love
stop
it. Yes,
the negative feedback
reminder.
And put the stick down.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Christian, what about you?
Well, I don't know how I'm going to take aim on this, but we are struggling with our son, Bodhi, who's 10 and has ADHD. And dealing with helping him understand when his ADHD is an accommodation and when he is using it as an excuse for poor behavior.
Uh-huh.
You know, for instance, he of course struggles like a lot of kids do with getting up and getting to school on time, and his teacher has said he is fine with that. You know, Bodhi is regularly late. And we celebrate the times when he does get there on time. The teacher's fine with that. But what he does not like is what he has described to us as talking back and rudeness. And Bodhi, of course, has described it as, I really don't understand what he means by that. So I think probably some of it is just his lack of executive function and social cues. But then I think also, you know, he can be belligerent, and that has nothing to do with ADHD.
It does have something to do with that.
Well, it could be. And so I guess we are struggling to figure out where the dividing line is, but also, you know, he can't be rude. You can't be rude. And sometimes he is being rude because he's struggling with his ADHD. And so we're sort of struggling to where do we find that line?
So let me tell you what I'm hearing. Let me play back what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing you say, the change you want to see is you want to help him learn to manage the rudeness and be more respectful.
Yes.
Okay. Whether it's ADD or not.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And you have to sort of assume there's always some component of it that is impulsive, that is reactive, that is responding to being agitated, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got an impulse control disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And an angry speak or rudeness is an impulse control issue.
Okay.
So we want to help him learn to begin to focus on that need to manage that impulse. and today's a good topic for it. So does that capture it?
Yes, it does.
Awesome. Okay. Is that everybody or back to Julie? I feel like I'm missing somebody else.
This is Julie. I'll go ahead.
Okay.
I want to take aim on my daughter's been having trouble getting her work done in class, and so I've done some things already to work on that and communicated with the teacher and did figure out that she does need medication, or she does have ADHD and attentive type, and so that's why I think she's struggling in class. So the medication has started about 2 weeks ago, and she's saying it's getting a little bit better, but I still want to help her to be able to finish it or most of her work in class so that she's not coming home every night and saying, I've got so much work to do, and she's still very overwhelmed. And then
so if I remember correctly, she's young. She's like 9, right?
She's 9, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
so
our son never had this problem, so it's like a totally different situation
right.
than, you know,
so
what we're
rather than
him.
Making sure she gets her work done at school, can mm-hmm. you take aim on having her not have extra homework?
Well, our school, the kids' school, doesn't have homework, so mm-hmm. really she should be finishing her work in class.
So
and
she should not be having homework.
Correct.
So that's where I want you to focus.
Okay.
Because she's only 9, and if she doesn't get
yes.
it all done in class, does she really need to do more busy work at home?
Well, right, and I did inquire on that with the teacher, and she said that unless there's an official diagnosis, they can't, and like a
504.
You know,
I thought
504.
She had a diagnosis.
Well, she does now, just recently, just
okay.
in the last
well,
month.
So two things I'll say to that. One is she has a diagnosis, and two,
okay.
actually now, is they don't require a diagnosis to try an accommodation and see if they get results.
Oh, okay.
So, so, and the reason I'm sort of pushing on this is because we could focus on, we do want her to focus better in class and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and really what you're saying is she should not be bringing home homework.
Correct.
Okay, so let's let that be the focus, because the issue may not be with her at all, it may be with the school.
Okay.
Fair?
Okay. Yes.
You got a
Definitely.
School who doesn't send homework home for a reason. There's a philosophy there.
Correct.
So why would the kids who struggle be an exception to that philosophy instead
yes,
of the reason for the
you know,
philosophy?
Missing recess and all this, which is not the philosophy of that school. So,
okay. Got it?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mark, anything you want to add? He's inattentive. He's off. Okay. Anybody else? Any place else we want to focus or take aim or celebrate or check in? Okay. So let's talk about today's topic. It's not a new one for anyone. We've probably been talking about it in bits and pieces all year. It comes up in so many other coaching tips and strategies. But we think compassion both deserves its own category because it is such a powerfully effective tool with our kids. And so many of you have even just alluded today to the changes you're already seeing by using compassion. And, you know, the definition of compassion is that it's a sympathetic concern or the expression of sympathetic concern for another's difficulties. It's just, and it's so much more than that, because part of what's happening with our kids is they are feeling a lack of control and a lack of mastery, and they're looking around and they're seeing their peers able to do what they know they should be able to do and they can't do, and that's incredibly frustrating or infuriating or saddening or scary, or depending on how it shows up for the child, right? It's going to, the feelings around it are going to be different, but all of it comes down to some sense of a lack of control. Not being able to do what it is that everybody else seems to expect them to do and that they expect themselves to do. And so what compassion offers is an opportunity for us to validate their experience to make them feel not so isolated and not so alone, not so different by not being able to do something, but in some way to normalize it, to help them see that part of life's experience is to have disappointments. And so what we want is to be fostering resilient kids. And compassion is really a great tool for doing that, because it gives us a chance to communicate to our kids that part of what it means to be human is sometimes for things not to go the way we want, or to take a while to learn something, or to struggle with something, and that that's okay. And when we come from a place of compassion with them about it, it's no longer a sense of their own failure to live up to something, but it becomes a more, as I say, it's a normalizing experience. And I don't usually use the word normal. I usually prefer typical. But in this case, it connects them to other humans. So how we address the challenges that our kids have sets the tone for how they're going to manage themselves. And, you know, the example we used a little while ago, Tess, about, you know, learning to stop the negative feedback, right? When we have compassion for our kids' experience and we get in there with them and share the feelings of frustration or discomfort, then that will help teach them to stop hitting themselves over the head with a stick. It'll help them learn to put the stick down earlier. And ultimately, we want to save these kids from the self-flagellation that a lot of us adults with ADD experience, because we never understood that there was a reason for our frustrations in the first place. So I'm going to stop there and just let's have a little conversation, because compassion is not a new tool. It's something many of you have used. So what's coming up in this conversation as I sort of raised that for you in terms of how it's worked or where it's hard to use?
This is Christian in Atlanta, and I find it most difficult to use, you know, when they're truly struggling, they're upset, and you can tell. But what I find it difficult to, when I find it difficult to apply compassion, is when either the belligerence comes in or just the complete lack of response. They're just lost in their own world, and they don't even want to have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
That's what I struggle with, and you know, when they're having a meltdown, crying, you know, you can really tell they need some help and they need some comfort. But it's during that belligerent phase that's typically, for my child, the lead into a just total, complete ADHD episode. You know, so that's when I try and really head it off at the pass. When I can't get him to be even in the same universe as me to even ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what my child, Bodhi, struggles with the most, is that he doesn't know how to ask for help. He won't
mm-hmm.
do it.
So by the time he's demonstrating these behaviors, part of you knows that what he needs is help, but that by that point it's already gone.
Right. And
okay.
It's too late. I just have to let it burn out. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's that he doesn't know how to ask for it, or doesn't know what help he needs, or doesn't realize he can ask for, you know, like he has a hard time saying, hey, I just need a few more minutes. Even when I offer him, do you need a few more minutes? Do we need to go slower? Am I putting too much on you?
Mm-hmm. So, and all of those questions, what if the answer is he doesn't know?
I think that's probably what it is, because he's only 10.
Right.
And emotionally, he's actually 7 or 8.
Right. So if you dare to know for him what the experience is, how could you use compassion differently?
Well, I think I could also, I think I could either just build it in, like just automatically give him 5 more minutes to tie his shoes or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
Or enunciate that to him to say, I know showers are really hard, I know you don't like them, so we're only going to do them once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and make sure he remembers.
And when you're older
that,
and you hit puberty, you're going to have to take them more often. Just letting you know that now.
Yes, because people are not going to want to be around you.
Right, but for now, you're only 10 and it's okay.
Right.
Right? Like, you want to set mm-hmm. that stage for his development. Always hold the space for him to mature. But so what I hear is, instead of, do you want 5 more minutes, to presume to know that he needs 5 more minutes and to say, hey, I'm going to give you 5 more minutes.
Okay.
Which is another way to express your compassion. So sometimes the compassion isn't necessarily what you say, but I think what you're bringing up is something really important, which is what you're doing for him or not doing or whatever, right? It's daring to know what he needs even when he doesn't and making that possible for him. That's compassion, too.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I mean, this is a strange example, but if a nurse goes to a patient in the hospital and they're not coming in and saying, I mean, they're going to ask, you know, do you need anything, whatever. But sometimes they're going to come in and say, you know, I brought you this hot compress because I thought you'd really like it.
Hmm.
That's compassion.
I like
and
that.
And with these kids, we ask them so many questions that they don't know the answers to. Why did you do that? How do you think we should handle this? What was going on? Right? We just, they don't know.
Hmm.
What other thoughts are coming up as I talk about that? How's that showing up for other people?
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing that in the past about they don't know what they don't know. Like when it came to getting homework done, it wasn't that they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to start to do it.
Yes, often.
And yeah, and I remember I asked Logan that one time. You know, do you not know how to start it? And he was like, yeah, I don't know how to start. I'm like, okay, now that's good. Let's figure out how to start it. And then, you know, we figured it out and got the work done. So,
right.
But the problem
but you
is...
you dared to know for him, right?
What's that?
You dared to know for him what was going on.
I'd say
you started by telling him, is, you know, this is what I'm noticing. Is this right?
Yes.
Because he couldn't have told you, I don't know how to get started.
Right, right, exactly. And the problem that I have is I forget that he doesn't know how to start it. And it's the same with Parker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but then the problem with Parker is you try to tell her and she doesn't want your help.
Mm-hmm.
She asks for help and then you tell her and she gets upset because you're helping her.
Yeah,
so, I don't know
which is a whole other piece of it.
Yeah.
That shows up so often. So how can you, I mean, that's a great sort of observation. So how do you have compassion and offer what you know? How can you do it in a way that doesn't put them on the defensive? This is for anyone. I don't want to put you on the spot.
That's okay. Yeah, I think just sitting down with them, you know. Parker, she tends to do her homework on the floor, you know, getting down on the floor with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I have is I lose it because she asks for help, so I stop what I'm doing, and I go to help, and then she doesn't want my help, and then I'm like, forget it, I get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being... what's the word? There's a word for it. The stick-to-itiveness of it.
Yeah, the determination. Yeah.
Determination. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I'm not gonna walk away. I'm not gonna give up on her. I'm gonna stick with it. And
so can I offer you a good companion to compassion for you, Mark?
Mm.
Is curiosity. If she asks for help and you come over and she says, I don't want any help, then get curious. Right. Well, that's what's going on. How, you know, what's going on with her that had her ask and then push you away?
Yeah, I hear you.
And that way you can presume to know for her. You can say, I guess this is really frustrating for you. I know how that feels. So, and compassion has another piece to it that I think is really important too, which is the shared experience. One of my favorite lines with my kids is, I hate it when I feel that way.
Right.
Because I want them to know that they're not alone and that I'm human and I feel this way too. It must be really frustrating to try to get started and not know how. I hate it when I feel that way. That happened to me just the other day when I was trying to make dinner, which in my family would cause a laugh because I don't cook, but that's a whole other conversation. What else is coming up for people? What are you noticing?
This is Wendra, and one of the, one of the issues we have with compassion is that Katya doesn't talk very, I mean, she communicates really well, but she doesn't know what she's saying as much, I guess, because she's only four. So when she gets frustrated with us for not understanding her, it's sometimes hard to improve the interaction. Hang on a second, let me switch.
It's sometimes hard to improve the interaction with her because she just can't explain what's going on enough to let us help her, I guess.
So that's when I would shift the focus from whatever it is she's trying to say to focus on the fact that she's having a hard time saying it, and that is so frustrating.
Okay.
Right? So that's when you shift it to, you're trying to tell us something that we're having a hard time hearing, and it must be making you crazy.
Okay.
I hate it when that happens, when I feel like I know what I'm trying to say, and I just can't get my point across. Right? Because that becomes what the reaction is about. It's no longer about what she's trying to tell you. She's now reacting to the fact that she can't communicate clearly.
Okay.
And for a lot of our kids, what happens is the explosion is almost like a deflection from whatever it is we were asking them to do, because what we were asking them to do became hard, and then they couldn't do it. And so now they're frustrated that they couldn't do it, not that you asked them to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
And so the place to focus on the compassion is that second piece.
Rather than working on trying to figure out the first piece that we can't figure out anyway.
Exactly. Sometimes you got to let go of the immediate. And it makes me think, it brings me back, Audrey, to the conversation. At the beginning of today's call, you were talking about, that you use, when you're using compassion and it sort of works, it doesn't work, and then you move to more punitive measures, right? And that's frustrating. So I wonder what's coming up for you in this conversation and whether you've sort of seen anything new that might be useful.
Yeah, I'm having this aha that... So what's going on is, like, he's feeling, you know, uncomfortable about whatever he's been requested to do. And my strategy is, right, to partner with him in that discomfort and say, you know, sort of like, come along here, take my hand, I'll support you through this. But his strategy is, I'm out of here. He's running, right?
Right.
So his strategy is to negotiate in a not nice way. To get out of it. He's,
right, fight or flight.
It's flight, right? He's fighting
right.
And flighting at the same time. and so what happens is, as long as he thinks he can get out of it, he is running for his life.
Yeah.
And so what I have to do to stop him, so what I do in response to that is I put up a roadblock and say, you can go no further than this. Do not, you know, you have to come back here and deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like, you know, if you keep running, this is the consequence.
Okay.
So I don't have the aha about the way around that, but I see that that's what's going on.
Well, that's great. So let's move it to adults for a minute, right? Because we've had conversations about how do we handle being triggered, right? When we get triggered, we first recognize that we're triggered in the first place. Then we reclaim the brain. Then we make up a new story that works for us, and then we take action based on the new story. That's our four-step process, right? Ideally. So what's happening is he's triggered, and You're trying to get him to move forward on the action before he's had a chance to reclaim his brain.
Right.
He can't, literally can't, if he's in fight or flight. He can't do what you've asked him to do. He's got to reclaim his brain first.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means the dishwasher won't get unloaded, or the shower won't get taken, or the, you know, whatever it is, until he learns. But so the focus is actually learning on, helping him learn the process of, once we get triggered, we have to chill ourselves out and calm down before we can move on to the next step.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. And that's, it's so hard to do that when there's like a time deadline. Right?
It's the hardest.
It's. And that's when the threatening comes in, so we can make the deadline, right?
Right.
You got to get to bed, or you got to get out the door to school, or whatever.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So if you were to take aim here, sort of in this context, how would you reframe where you want to take aim?
Well, I mean, I think the struggle is that when he's triggered, getting him to go, you know, do the things that we've established to calm down, right? He's got a calming box in his bedroom. There's paper to rip up. There's balloons to blow up or bat around. I mean, but, you know, when he's triggered, he doesn't want to go do any of that, right? You know, we've got a punching bag in the living room. Hit the punching bag, whatever. And there's always been that struggle of, like, for years, you know, we've made the lists of things we can do. We've had the conversation over and over again. But when the moment comes, there's no commitment to do it.
So you know? Is there a commitment outside of the moment to do it?
There may be a commitment outside of the moment to do it, but in the moment, that commitment is not kept.
Right.
Because we're triggered, right? We're not about keeping commitments right now.
Right, exactly. So that's a great place to take aim, actually.
Yeah.
So the taking aim becomes about committing to use strategies when I'm triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing one, doesn't matter which one it is.
Right.
And it may be, like, we use code words a lot when my kids were younger for just that. The code word was when there was no ration involved and there was no way there was going to be ration. The code word was like an instant stop. So we had a code word. One was broccoli ice cream. That was because when my kids got hungry, that was it.
I'm sorry, but I've had an emergency at my child's school, so I need to run.
Okay, who is that, just so I know?
This is Christian in Atlanta.
Okay, all right.
Thank
you. Will you email me later and let me know you're okay?
Oh, yeah. They had a fire in the school, so I've got to go pick them up early. So, yeah, it's no big deal, but I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay. I lost my thought. Sorry. Where were we?
When you're triggered, broccoli ice cream.
Okay, so we use broccoli ice cream because my kids, if they were hungry and I could tell that it was a food issue, it was like nothing else mattered. We could go for hours, or we could stop, and when somebody called broccoli ice cream, that was it. You had to eat, and there was no conversation until somebody had eaten. And which it was just a hard and fast. We just agreed to it, you know. And so that code word may be a strategy for using for deciding agreeing to use a trigger management tool. But if what you're pointing to really is the challenge is that once everybody's triggered, nobody's calming down before you take action, before you move forward, then that's the place for you to focus, is how do we get ourselves to reclaim the brain?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's both you and he.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for you, it may be as simple as take three breaths. You know, it's not always I got to go, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I see, you know, you asked if there's commitment outside of the moment, and I think the reality is that it's weak commitment because there's some lack of awareness of, you know, of why it's a problem. It's apparent to me why it's a problem, you know, but he, you know, spews his venom and moves on. Right. I mean, we're having these conversations lately. It's like, you can't just do that and then pretend it didn't happen. Like,
Here's the thing, Audrey. He can. But you don't want him to.
Right, but I don't want him to. Exactly. Right.
But understand that distinction, because when we say to our kid, you can't just.
Yeah.
In fact, they can, and they have been for a long time.
Right.
So even that is to shift to, I really would like it if this changed, because this is very hard for me. You know, it's okay if the reason is, particularly with kids under 14, if the reason is, can you work on this because it's really hard for me and I love you. And it's really hard to show you how much I love you when you're so angry and it feels so, it's hard not to take it personally.
Right.
But these conversations need to happen outside of the thick of things.
Yeah.
Right? Not in the middle.
Yep. Okay.
So based on that, if we sort of go back and look at, you know, the place you were originally taking aim was about managing him when he's spewing, right? So, as that shifts, where's the focus now?
Yeah, the focus now is to focus on the commitment to get calm and reclaim the brain out, and focus on that commitment outside of the moment, and make sure that we're on the same page in terms of, you know, do we both agree this needs to be done and we're going to work on it? And, you know, what is the method by which we're going to, you know, work together to alert ourselves that this is taking place? And then what's the plan for, you know, what you're going to do? Here are the options we have from the past, but, you know, what, pick one or two or three.
So here's what I want to do, because it's a perfect example of using the model. So I want to, can I just walk everybody through what just happened? Is that okay?
Yep.
So she took aim on managing him when he's Linda Blair, right?
Yes.
Everybody here know who Linda Blair was?
Exorcist.
Yes. Right. Okay, so we take aim there, and then you sort of collect information, you've been trying it, you've been working on it, you chose a parenting positively strategy of compassion, you were working it, you were using it, you took action, and so what we really did for you today was rinse and repeat, right?
Right.
Because the strategy wasn't really working.
Right.
And so as we went back, we looked at it, we collected more information, we realized you needed to take aim at a slightly different place.
Right.
To get results. Okay, so now you're starting over. You're still sort of tackling the same problem, but there's more nuance to it, and you've collected some more information about when to have that conversation and what might be motivating his behavior and all of those things. And so you could still potentially use the same strategy or maybe some other strategies. Shifting expectations may come into it here. Knowing when you've already paid attention to activating the brain on this issue. So you're going back through it, but this time you're looking at it through a different lens. Did that sound like it, what we were doing? And does everybody sort of see how the model takes you back? And sometimes rinse and repeat means you stick with the same problem, you just see how you're going to tweak the solution. Any thoughts, observations? Anybody notice anything? So what's your aha from that, Audrey, from this conversation?
yeah, I always end up back at the model. I guess I'm just sort of realizing how, you know, this is the essence of complex kids. You have a kid who was a mess and all over the place, and we used the model, and everything was, you know, happy jazzy, and he was able to, you know, generally meet expectations, and we had this period of calm. But then, you know, you go through this medication change or whatever, you know, whatever the factors are, and all of a sudden you're having to, you know, change your expectations again, even though, like, he's older and he's got more skills. And but, you know, it's like maybe we need to go back to not having a shower every 2 days or whatever. And so, you know, that's, I think, as a parent, a really hard thing to get your head around is how come, you know, my 8-year-old a couple of weeks ago could take a shower every night and now he can't, but I still have to, you know, I still have to accept going backwards sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, that's hard. So it's sometimes it's 2 steps backward for 3 steps forward.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll share that I've noticed is that sometimes they'll be on something for a long time and you feel like you've got it bulletproof, and then they start working on something else, and then what they were working on slides a little bit. And maybe it's as simple as a reminder, this is you gotta keep up with this while you're working on that. But sometimes while they're learning mastery in one area, other things are gonna slide for a little bit, and you gotta sort of hold that big view that eventually they're gonna pull it all together. Sort of like when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, right? You sort of work on a few pieces, you get a section going, and then you leave it and you go to another section, and then you come back. And eventually you're going to put them all together into one big puzzle, but sometimes you can only work on one piece of the puzzle at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a hard aha, but an important one, right?
They're not all fun.
So based on it, what's the commitment you want to make this week? What do you want to do differently?
I need to have a conversation with him, not in the moment, about, you know, the fact that this is going on. Is he aware of it or not? And, express that, even if he doesn't view it as a problem, that I need it to, you know, that I need some changes, because it's hard for me to deal with. You know, it's hard for me to. Yeah, it's hard on my end.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of helping him take a responsibility for his impact.
Right.
Right. Because he doesn't want to hurt mom.
Yeah. Conveniently, right? He's a very compassionate person.
Exactly. Usually, and he doesn't want to hurt you, and he's really good at forgetting it, moving on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the beauties of the brain, is that they make a lot of mistakes, but fortunately, unless people rub it in their face, they can forget. That's why, you know, with a couple, one the adult has ADD and he picks a fight right before bed because he's looking for some stimulation and he likes the way it makes his brain feel. And the next day he wakes up, he's fine and he's happy, and his wife is furious and fuming and has been up all night. And it's pretty typical. So, at least he will be forgiving. So, let's do the final four for everybody. What did you focus on today, and what was your aha? What's your clarity from this conversation? And then, of course, what commitment do you want to make for yourself? And how do you want to set yourself up for success? And Audrey, especially you, like, how do you want to set yourself up to be successful with this conversation? Because it has the risk of being a complex conversation. So, as you're ready, who wants to share your ahas or what you feel like you got from today?
I'll say something here. I liked your definition of compassion. I've never really thought of it as being defined. It always was just what it was. So that's good. And, you know, sharing their feelings of discomfort. I need to do that more. An aha. Yeah, I need to, like with Logan, it's difficult because he annoys so much that it's hard to get it into my head to be compassionate because he just annoys so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he needs, and I know he needs it. It's just hard to do it, hard to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and reclaiming the brain, I think that's the problem that I have with him, that we have with each other, because we bark at each other.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And you can't be reasonable when either of you are triggered.
Right. Well, I can be reasonable. He just can't be reasonable.
Right. Great.
That's all I got.
All right. Anybody else? So does that lead you to any commitment, Mark? Anything you want to commit to?
Yeah, just being more compassionate and patient. And, you know, it's like my brain knows it's not his fault. But, like I said, because he annoys and he pushes those buttons, you know, maybe coming up with solutions or, I don't know, not Band-Aids, but, you know, ways to handle it in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you may look for is a structure for yourself, something that you can see or do or touch or say to yourself that sort of keeps you calm. You know, whether it's not his fault or a rock you keep in your pocket to remind you to not throw stones or whatever it is for you, but some we call it a structure in the world of coaching that you can use to sort of remind yourself. Sometimes people will use images or pictures, like a picture on your desktop or your phone.
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that goes through my mind in the moment is I can't let him
win.
One-up me.
Yeah, I can't let him win.
I can't show weakness because he'll pounce on it, and he does.
Right.
And then, you know, then it turns out where I'm just yelling at him and sending him to his room.
Right. So that's the next, after you reclaim the brain, the next step is to make up a story that works for you. So instead of I can't show weakness, what other story is also true? And it may be he needs my compassion right now.
Yeah.
Or my patience right now, or whatever it is. But that's where I would point you is replace I can't show weakness in your mind with something else and say that to yourself.
Right.
Let that be your mantra.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds good.
Anybody else? Ahas, commitments?
This is wondering, mostly just recognizing that the initial frustration is not necessarily the frustration that Katya is dealing with right now, and that I need to track where she is and what she's frustrated with.
Yeah. That's a great one. I have a strong memory of a PSS call last year where one of the dads had this aha when he realized that they was constantly fighting to get his kids in a car seat.
Mm.
And we finally figured out it wasn't about the car seat, it was about the rushing.
Mm.
And it's because they were rushing in the morning and he needed to slow down. And she wasn't fighting the car seat, she was fighting him rushing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does that lead you to any commitment that you want to make?
I guess just trying to be more aware of what's happening in her head.
Yeah. And that's ultimately what compassion really is about, is putting yourself in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Seeing the world. Okay. Anybody else? Tess, I think. I haven't heard from you. Anything for you?
Oh, hi. Sorry, I had to get myself off mute.
That's okay.
I'm just filled with greater compassion just listening to everyone and knowing that, I mean, it may sound funny, but yeah, that both of my boys still struggle with showering, and my younger one just turned 13 and my older one's 15 and a half. And I don't know, I guess knowing that I mean, they're just not one that'll take a shower every day or even every 2 days. And I guess that's just an unrealistic expectation. And if they're not sweating and, you know, I'm not smelling them, I guess it's not that big of a deal. So, you know, that's something that I need to just let go of and not, yeah, I get so upset about. I think
well, just imagine you lived in Europe, and in Europe, nobody showers
right.
every day.
Yes, you're right.
Right?
Right. And then they'll put the perfume, you know, and so but that kind of bugs me personally. Like, then they'll spray on these scents and just like, oh, that's even worse, you know, I would just rather, you know. But, that's a tiny thing, and, you know, in comparison to, I mean, that's really not a big deal, but just hearing that just kind of, you know, puts me at ease and mm-hmm. makes me kind of just laugh at myself and, you know, how silly I can be at times.
Awesome. Nothing
sick.
Better than a good laugh at yourself, truly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love the idea of just keeping the stick down, and because I'm having more compassion, I can now really get curious and to look at my find solutions in a positive way, you know, and you know, getting my kids involved and engaged with, you know, well, how can we work on this, or what would help, you know, versus me telling them, okay, you've got to do this now and it's got to be done, you know, right away in this way, you know, I just tend to be more of a tyrant over, you know, certain things and not wanting them to, I'm not being patient enough to engage with them and have them participate and be involved in the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And
it will serve
because,
you well as you do.
Yes.
It will serve you and it will serve them, because ultimately we want them to be able to make decisions for themselves in their lives.
Right, right.
You know, so. All right. And any commitment? Well, I think that was your commitment, you said, was putting the stick down.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Awesome.
Keeping it down.
Getting curious. Awesome. Keeping it down, right. Okay. Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you all for your amazing contribution and for your commitment
you,
to your kids and your families. It was a pleasure. Thanks for welcoming me back. I've missed you guys. So it was great to be with you. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Take care.
Can I just say one more thing for those of you who may still be on the call? We are inviting people to join us for Sanity School, and I know most of you have probably had access to it or whatever, but if you know any families that you've been wanting to sort of get involved in our community, Sanity School is a really good entry point for them. And we are doing it live again in a couple of weeks. So if you know anybody who's interested, please send them our way, because now is the time, and the discount is good through this week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye.